let's dive in this morning. Let's dive in. I thought it was encouraging. Okay, let's dive in. I got a question to ask some of you this morning. As you guys know, sometimes I like to engage you a little bit and ask you a couple questions with regards to what we're talking about this morning. So I want to throw this question out there to you guys and ask you guys a question. One at a time, because I know this is probably a really popular question, okay? If you could have one food, one meal, one thing to eat, if it was like your last deathbed meal, what would it be? I know this is hard. Babe.
Dark chocolate.
Oh, come on. That's not a meal. Dark chocolate's not a meal. I said food. All right. Yes, Kathy. What? Spoken like, no. Okay, that's fine. You know they're bottom feeders, right? They eat nothing but, yeah, okay. Lobster, okay. That's such a popular, okay. Spoken like a true manner, yes. Christy, yes. Oh, there we go. Now we're talking. Crab rangoons. If I could have dairy, I'd eat crab rangoons. Oh, all of it, right? All of it. Oh, my gosh. You know what? I think we should just cancel right now. Let's just go out to lunch. Let's go to Panda Garden, man. We're the... All right. All right. Yes, in the back. Say that again?
Beef Wellington.
Beef Wellington? I don't even know what that is. That's something from back in the 50s you used to cook, right? Yeah. I know. Annalie. Beef ballpark Franks? That's your last meal? All right, that's fine. All right. So what do you put on it? Ketchup, mustard? Mayo? All right. Hey, we put mayo on hot dogs in our house. So. All right, last one, Deb. Okay, two more. Deb?
Mexican food.
Okay. You got to be more specific. Let me guess.
I make everything.
No, let me guess. Your favorite.
That's my favorite.
What's your favorite?
Anchovy.
Okay, yeah. Obviously. Okay, last one in the back. Donna. Ooh, Jackson, you can get down with that, huh? Get down with that. Okay. All right. What's mine? Well, I'm so glad you asked, Mike. Like, I didn't even do this either. We had nothing to do with this beforehand, did we? Did I talk to you before? I did not. Mike, I am so glad you asked what my favorite meal would be. So, if I could have my favorite meal, here comes Jazz with my favorite meal right here. Oh, baby. Here we go. Well, I don't want that. Oh, yes. Okay, Jasmine, thank you so much. These would be what I would eat. Chicken wings would be my final meal. This would be, oh, if I could have this every day for three meals a day, I would. Let me just, ready? Oh. Oh, it's so good. Now, let me just, oh my gosh. Oh, I mean, okay, so right now, I'm not eating meat because I take time off to eat like vegan for a little while. And I do it periodically, but I just had to have that. If I could have anything, it would be chicken wings. And it would be buffalo style. I mean, forget teriyaki, forget barbecue, forget all that other crap. Barbecue. I mean, buffalo. All the way. Buffalo wings. this morning. So I have some out in the kitchen. So if anybody of you like chicken wings, if you like buffalo style chicken wings, I got more out in the kitchen if you want them. They're from Hannaford. They're really good. Every time I eat them, my family gets upset at me because they're like, "Dad, those are so unhealthy for you." But you know what? I have to splurge once in a while. So buffalo wings are my favorite. I am so glad you said that, Jim. I am so excited. Let me just do this really quick. All right. I don't even know why Jasmine gave me this to me today. Anyway. Okay. Okay, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 this morning. You gotta have some fun. You gotta have some fun. So we are in our series called Hallowed, as you guys know. And the title of my message this morning is Savoring His Sustenance. Savoring His Sustenance. And that is the reason for the illustration and the object lesson with these wonderful buffalo wings that I still cannot get enough. I just want to go back there and just eat them while I'm speaking. No? Okay. Okay. All right. So let's dive in. Let's get focused this morning. Let's get focused on God's word this morning. So let's talk about this, savoring his sustenance. So as you guys know, we've been journeying through the Lord's Prayer, and we've been talking about how Jesus has given us a model to pray, and that the overarching theme of this model is the exalting of God. The exalting of God, and that everything that Jesus does, everything that he shows us, everything that he models for us, I'm going to have to switch this mic in a moment, I think. Everything he shows us and models us in is for the expressed purpose of exalting his name. Exalting his name. And so for the first 3 weeks, we've looked at the power of God. And we've looked at how the prayer of Jesus focuses on exalting the power of God. That it is his power that is lifted up. It is his ability that's promoted and esteemed. And so now we see here a transition. Jesus goes from exalting the power of God to exalting the provision of God. Up until this point, his prayer has been intensely focused on exalting the power and the power of his name, the position, his name, his position, his kingdom, and his will. But now we see a transition from his power to his provision. It's like Jesus has front-loaded his prayer with the express intent of knowing the power of God so that we can understand who we're praying to when we're asking for his provision. Do you see that? That it is the power of God that we look to. It is his kingdom, his will, his name that is power. And it sets up the rest of the prayer. Because it is by his power we pray for his provision. So we see his provision. We begin to pray and ask for his provision. And Jesus front loads this prayer to exalt the power of God in order for us to understand where the provision comes from. It is in this next verse where we see the transition from God's power to his provision in this line, "Give us this day our daily bread." This term becomes the next appeal. And with it, it is a line of demarcation. It's a separation where we focus on God's power to God's provision. Here, we see Jesus's prayer exalting the provision of God. And with unswerving devotion, he keeps the Father at the center of his prayer, summoning the believer with an assertive plea to insist on God's sustenance. That is what we are to do as believers when we pray, that we are to assertively plea for the sustenance of God, to savor it as it is provided daily, and to rejoice in God's ability to meet every single need. The prayer is not simply a recognition of God's ability, but it is an emphatic plea for his power to be demonstrated in his provision. And Jesus' prayer was not simply about words. It was not uniquely about words, but it provided a structure to our petition. It provided content for our cry. The goal was not simply a replication of empty phrases. That was not the point of this prayer. But it is a body of insistent appeals. And it's designed to do one thing. It is designed to arrest the heart of the believer to exalt the name of God. That is the point. So as we kind of thrust our way into this this new line, this new appeal, this new petition, I pray that this morning would be a point where in your life you would understand and God would cause maybe in you a passion to pray more fervently, that the prayers that you pray would be more consequential, that you would believe in the power of God for what he provides, that as you pray for his sustenance, you would pray with conviction, and that you would pray with certainty, and that the prayers that you pray in your time with God would not be a formality, but they would matter, and that you would believe with certainty that God is hearing you and he's able to provide for every need. That is the point this morning of this part of the prayer. So savoring his sustenance, let's talk about this for a moment. I want to break this down. We're going to look at one line, but we're going to exposit this one line because there's so much packed in this one line. Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And so we're gonna look at this in segments. We're gonna look at a couple pieces of it, and we're gonna put it all together. We're gonna pull everything out, and then we're gonna put it all back together in the end. So let's look at this first part. Give us. Jesus starts this line with give us. God gives in a gracious manner all that is needed. I want you to hear that this morning, church, that God gives in a gracious manner, all that is needed. He supplies in perfect agreement with his will all he determines for your sustenance. God exalting prayer is not a transactional proposition, but it is an urgent plea to receive something only he can provide, knowing that there is no way we could ever give back to him anything in return of equal value. It is not a transactional proposition. It is a cry and a plea from the heart to receive something that only he can give. That is so important to understand when we pray this prayer, or this type of prayer. Turn with me to Psalm 36 if you can. We're going to be in Psalm 36 and Psalm 78 for a moment here. Psalm 36 verses 7 to 9 says this: how precious is your steadfast love, O God! The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. Here's the idea that we can feast on the abundance of his house. Where is his house? What is his house? His house is the place of his presence, and his presence is in us through the Holy Spirit. And so the psalmist is saying that we can feast with abundance in your house or on your house, that by your very presence that lives in us, it gives us the ability to feast, to be satisfied, to eat on, to consume. It says, feast, you can feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delight. It's like God, more than anything, in his delight, offers delight to you in him. And then that river that never ends, that's overflowing, that comes from within us in the Holy Spirit, God says through his word that we can drink from that, and that he provides it for us. That we would never go thirsty. And we see these words echoed by Jesus, and we're going to get to those in a moment. But that's what Psalm 36, verses 7 through 9 tell us. Not only that, but with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. What is the point here? The point is that the source of everything is God. That he provides all things. And then we are incapable of providing anything for ourselves of nourishment. That it all comes from him. Psalm 78, verses 15 and 16. Let's park here for a second. This is a recounting of Israel's time in the wilderness, and it's a recounting of how God kept them and provided for them and sustained them. In Psalm 78, verses 15 and 16, it says this: he split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. He made streams come out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like the rivers. What is the picture here? That God is abundantly able to provide. And that he can provide from something that seems to have no ability to provide anything. That he can, in his abundance of provision, he can even cause a water to come from a rock. You can't get water from a rock. But God, in his abundance, in his wonder and beauty, his matchless goodness, says, I can give you life, and it comes from me, because I can bring life from anything. And I can provide life from anything and to anything, including you. When we pray, give us, it should cause the heart, our heart, to gaze upon our inability to provide anything that is necessary for the things of life. It should invoke in us a strong reliance an acknowledgement of the only one who can provide sufficiently for everything. When we ask God to give to us, it's a recognition that what is required for life can only come from him. It is a stark reminder that we are incapable of providing anything of sustenance, both for our spiritual needs and physical needs, that we can provide nothing that would nourish us outside of God. That's what we proclaim when we say, give us, Lord, give us. It draws a distinction between God, who can sufficiently give, and us, who are incapable of giving anything to ourselves to be sufficient. It's an emphatic rejection of our attempt to be self-sufficient. Let me say that again. It's an emphatic rejection of our attempt to be self-sufficient when we say, Lord, give us. Lord, give us. Matthew 5, verse 3 says this: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus didn't say, blessed are the rich in spirit. Blessed are the abundant in spirit. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Why does he say that? Well, it's because this idea of poor literally means reduced to beggary. It figuratively describes someone who is vulnerable and is in a vulnerable state that leads to a total dependence on God. That's what Jesus is saying here in this phrase. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. I need to be poor in spirit to understand how much I depend on him. God is exalted when his sustenance is supremely savored. It is most delighted in. God's sustenance is most delighted in when it is the sparkling diamond posited on the black backdrop of our ability to provide for ourselves. God is most richly delighted in when we see him as that sparkling diamond, the one that supplies all things sufficiently in perfect measure for our lives. And it is sparkling when it's laid on the backdrop of my inability to provide anything of nourishment for myself. That is how we see God and his sustenance this morning. If we are not asking of God, then we have failed to recognize our need. If we are not asking, we are failing to recognize our need. So then he goes on to say, he says, give us this day, give us this day our daily bread. So here's the understanding that God gives in a gracious manner all that is needed, and he supplies abundantly all that is required in accord with his perfect will, but he does it day to day. God exalting prayer trusts God not for what is needed next week or next month, but in the moment right now. God exalting prayer trusts God for what you need now. Not next week, not next month, not next year. But God exalting prayer says, God, give me what I need. Now, sustain me and give me all that is required to sustain me and do it today. Just today, God. I just need you today. Psalm 78, let's go back there for a moment. Verse 23 to 25 says this, yet he commanded the skies above, and we're talking about Israel in the desert here. He commands the skies above and opens the doors of heaven, and he rains down on them manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven. That God supplied all things, but we know for many of us when we read that, we understand that it was on a daily basis that they could not pick up the manna and take it on for the next day. It would rot. And so they would venture out with God each morning, reliant on what he would provide when the dew cleared for that day. It was a daily dependence. Look at this in Proverbs 30 verses 8 this morning. It kind of explains this a little bit more about how God provides and the manner in which he provides. Listen to this. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Lest I be full and deny you. Lord, don't give me too much. Don't give me more than I need. Why? Because I will deny you. I will begin to rest on my own ability to provide. So only give me as much as I need today. Only give me as much as you know that I need. But don't give me more. Why? Because I know that in my own heart, I will turn from you. I will go after the things that supply sustenance for me. And I will rely on my own ability to provide everything that I need, thus denying you. He says, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane your name. So God, don't give me too much, but supply all that I need so that I'm not begging of anyone else, but I am consistently and continually relying on all that you provide for me. Not that I'm rich and not that I'm poor, but God, that I am perfectly in your will and that you're supplying all that I need daily. And why is this? Because we must live, church, we must live with a consistent and daily dependence on him. That God gives us what we need, not more, not less, so that we can continue to rely on what he gives and completely serve him with continual dependence. It's as if when the desires of our body are known daily, right? When we wake up in the morning, the physical desire of our body is to eat. And as we, yeah, I could do that right now. Maybe I should just
stay focused.
Okay, focused. If you can understand this for a moment, that as we get up every morning and we are reminded of our physical need to eat, that it is in that same way that when we wake up and realize our hunger for food, that we also understand our hunger for God. That we would understand that how he provides is not only for what we have to put in our belly and to put on our backs, but it is ultimately we have to look at how he sustains us in him spiritually. That as we wake up every day and reminded of being hungry, that we would gaze our eyes, we would fix our eyes on all that he gives us to remain in him. Let me just say this. It can be compared to a Jewish man or a woman who would venture to the market to buy bread for that evening's meal. In a day in a culture where there were no preservatives, you would have to spend money. You would have to go to market to provide and to acquire that which is sustaining you for that evening. That your meal was provided in the market that day. It can be compared to a wage earner in that day that was often considered poor, a day laborer who would literally work each day and receive the wages for their work that day, that they would literally live day to day on their wages when they worked. Why? Because they had nothing else. They had no extra supply. They had no reserve, that they would literally turn to God. They would literally be dependent on their employer from day to day because of their financial situation. It's kind of that idea that Jesus is trying to get across here. In fact, that the idea of the poor in the Old Testament referred to a day laborer. It was someone who would have to depend on what they did day to day for their sustenance. It's the same imagery. So he gives this day. He gives this day. When we are praying, God, all that I need comes from you. But not only that, all that I need comes from you. Comes each day. And that I don't need to rely on you for next week or next month, but I need to rely on you now, today, this hour. And then he finishes off and says, give us this day our daily bread. God gives in a gracious manner, but God exalting prayer heralds that all we receive not only comes from him, but is perfectly supplied to satiate every need, never leaving us hungry or destitute. That is what we pray in this prayer. That is what we are asking and pleading with God, saying, God, give me what I need. Don't allow me to go hungry and don't allow me to be destitute. But I trust in you, God. I trust in your ability to provide for all things for me and for my family. That is the desperate plea of every cry of the heart for every believer that is going to pray in this manner. This idea of bread is this image that was so well known in this culture. This idea of bread was how Jesus had decided that he was going to be able to illustrate this point, that this idea of bread was really the symbolic image of sustenance in that time, because it was the building block of everyone's diet. The bread was eaten by everybody. And bread was really considered the thing that you would be able to consume that would satiate you in your physical needs. So Jesus is using this as an illustration about how God provides all things. Just as he provides you bread from the field, he provides you all things through the Spirit to live in accord with his will. And he blesses you in this way. Now, there's been some disagreement about whether or not Jesus is referring to physical bread or if he's referring to spiritual food. Some people think that he's more referring to physical bread that provides for the fundamentals of life. Other people believe that, you know, he's talking in more spiritual terms, that God gives everything spiritually for you to depend on him and to rely on him and to be satisfied by him. This phrase or this term or this passage is quite vague. But here's the really cool thing about Scripture and one of the really fundamental rules about reading Scripture, which is really important for every single one of us, is that when we come up to a passage that seems vague, that there are other passages in Scripture that will bring more light to this text. And we get in trouble when we begin to assume things about what something is saying, when we don't understand the context in which it's being said, and when we don't understand that the Bible proves itself, that there are other texts in Scripture that will point to better clarity about this text. And that's what we're going to look at for a moment here. Is Jesus referring to simply bread physically to sustain the fundamentals of life physically, or is he speaking about spiritual things? We must not cause ourselves to walk in false teaching by assuming something about a passage that is not clear. But we must go to the text and see, okay, God, what else do you say about this idea? Because that will allow us to form a more clear understanding about what Jesus is saying. So let's go there for a moment. Matthew chapter 6, verses 27 to 33. We gain a little bit more clarity about this. It's in the same chapter as the Lord's Prayer. He says this, "And which one of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And you have little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall I eat? Or what shall I drink? Or what shall I wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things. And you, your heavenly Father, knows what you need and knows them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So here we have Jesus both referring and bringing clarity to this text. He's saying, God knows your need. God knows your need. Will he not provide for every need? Your physical need, what you eat, what you're clothed with, your shelter. Will he not provide for all of that? Of course he will. Don't worry about those things. Yet seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Jesus presents these two things as being very important, but yet he provides for us a priority list. He says to us, be more concerned about seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And guess what, guys? All of these things will be added to you. The Gentiles, they're the ones that focus on their finances. Not that you shouldn't focus on your finances. Sorry about that. You should. It's very important, and we should do that. That's not the words I was trying to use. But the Gentiles primarily focus on what they would need to survive, that they would constantly rely on their own means in order to provide and their own desires. They would constantly rely on their own ability to provide all of those essentials that God already knows about. He says, don't worry about that. Don't live that way. Live and pursue righteousness, and God will give you all of these things. So Jesus gives us a priority list. He says, focus on the kingdom and his righteousness. Not that we don't pray for God to provide every need. Absolutely, no question that we should be providing. Lord, I just thank you for my job. I thank you for what you've given me. I thank you for my finances. I thank you, God, for all that you've provided. I thank you, Lord, for my family, that I've been able to clothe my family. We have a home to live in or an apartment, that we're not supposed to deny that. We're not supposed to not thank God for that and ask for that, right? But the priority is not that. That's not at the top of the list. The top of the list is, Lord God, pursue. I ask that you would cause in me a sense of righteousness, that I would live righteous before you, that God, my life would be an example of holiness before you. God, that I would pursue you in a way that is honoring to you. And I know that as I pursue you, and God, that as you build character in me, as I'm transformed into the image of your Son, God, that you will provide all of these things. That's what Jesus is saying. So we find some clarity in this text with regards to his prayer. But let me just say this. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 4, verses 4, that men should not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Bread is important, but not more important than every word that comes from God. And here we see the priority list broken down. Here we see more clarity brought to this text. We're to pray and ask for both, you guys. And to suggest this text is referring to one specific need or the other is completely missing the point. God desires to provide for all the fundamentals of life. Everyone. He provides for us through industry when we go to work. He provides for our sustenance through when we labor, if we can, if we are able to do that. He provides in those ways by those means. But more importantly, he provides a much more robust need, which is a spiritual need, by every word that comes from his mouth. Listen to these words Jesus said. John 6:35 says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall not thirst. John 6:58, this is the bread of life that came down from heaven, not like the bread your fathers ate and died. I am different. I am the manna of heaven. I am the true manna. I am the one that the manna in the wilderness was pointing to. I am the better bread. Why? Because you eat of me and you'll never be hungry again. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, but yet they hungered the next day and I had to provide it for them. But guess what? I'm coming as the true bread. You feast on me, you'll never hunger again. Amen. He is that daily bread. I am the living bread that came from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit is this sense that we are to continually being filled with the Holy Spirit, that it is a day-to-day occurrence. Paul is not saying be filled with the Holy Spirit once, but be filled with the Holy Spirit day after day after day after day after day. What are we supposed to do? We are supposed to feast on the words of God day after day after day after day. It's a daily dependence on what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. God said, Paul said that by faith you are filled with the Spirit. So as we believe in God, as we trust in Christ, it empowers us. It gives us the ability to trust him and to be filled with the Holy Spirit day after day after day. It's a continuous process. And God gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can be filled with him continually. And he gives us his word so that we can read it and absorb it, and so that God and his Holy Spirit illuminates the truth in our lives day after day after day. These statements of Christ regarding his nature, they demand an answer. They demand an answer to the most imperative question I'm going to pose to you right now, and that is this: what kind of bread are we asking for? What kind of bread are you consuming? What kind of bread am I consuming? And does this bread satiate me? Am I satisfied? Am I feeding on the bread of acceptance? Feeding on the bread of social media? Feeding on the bread of politics? I have to ask myself, am I feeding on the bread of ministry? I can't feed on the bread of ministry. I can't. I will go hungry if I feed on the bread of ministry. If you're feeding on bread that is not coming from Christ, you will remain hungry. And so the question we have to ask ourselves, church, is that are we feeding on the bread of culture and what it provides? Are we feeding on the bread of our job? Are we feeding on the bread of our industry, on our career? Am I feeding on the bread of being a father? I can't feed on the bread of being a father because I fail my kids all the time. Am I feeding on the bread of Christ? He says, give us this day our daily bread. And the cry of the heart this morning is, God, give me everything that sustains me. Give me everything that I need so that I can continue to depend on you every day. God, give me a continual filling of your Spirit. Give me a continual understanding of your word that I can dive in and know. And God, that you would illuminate truth in my life so I can serve you and worship you and love you and pursue holiness. That here's the most amazing thing about God calling us to a holy life, a righteous life, that we don't come to the cross through righteousness, but we get to righteousness through the cross. That as we pursue righteousness and holiness, it is only because we can rely on the grace and mercy of Christ on the cross. That is the heralding of the gospel this morning, that if you pursue holiness and righteousness in your life, that if the word of God dwells in you richly, you will know that your way to righteousness is through his death, and that faith in Christ for what he's done for you is the only motivator for you to live holy. And this morning, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to take assessment of your life and me as well. What kind of bread am I feeding on? It is so easy to feed on things that will never satisfy. And Christ says, I can give you daily everything you need. Amen? Charles Spurgeon said this, I'll finish with this quote. At all times, in all trials, savoring his sustenance, or sorry, in all times, in all trials, for all needs, to the throne we fly in prayer. That's so good. For all things. I want to encourage the prayer team to come up this morning. I really encourage you to search your heart this morning. Let this word penetrate you. Prayer team, whoever's on this morning, can you guys please come up? I want to encourage you. Let this word penetrate you. That the word of God is designed for many things. It's designed to exhort. It's designed to encourage, but it's also designed to convict and to rebuke and to bring correction and to bring repentance in the heart of every believer. And so I want to ask you this morning, if you're feeding on some bread that you know is not bringing any sustenance to you, if it's not in any way satisfying you and you know it, come and be prayed for. Let's stand this morning.